Right, prior to starting the meeting, I should mention this is Dusty Johnson, the Public Utilities Commission here in Pierre. Before we start the meeting, let's go ahead and check telephone lines. Commissioner Hansen.
Yes, hi.
Great, good morning, thanks. Chairman. Yeah, Ms. Bartling.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Mr. Decker.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, thanks. Ms. Siebel.
Yes, good morning. And Larry Toll will be joining us also.
Good. Good morning, Mr. Toll. Ms. Prendergast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Thanks very much. And Ms. Bennett.
This is Christine Miedema on behalf of Marlene Bennett. She'll be joining us periodically.
Great. Thanks, Ms. Miedema. And we do have some folks gathered here in Pierre as well. And with that, we will go ahead and begin. This is the meeting of the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. It's Tuesday, September 25th, 2007, at approximately 9:30 in the morning. We're at the State Capitol Building in Pierre. I'm Commissioner Dusty Johnson, and joining me for this meeting are Commissioners Gary Hansen and Steve Kolbeck. We have an agenda as well as an addendum to that agenda. And with that, we will go ahead and begin with item number one under consumer reports, and that is a status report on consumer utility inquiries and complaints. Ms. Gregg.
Thank you, Chairman Johnson. The Commission has received a total of 72 contacts since the last report was prepared for the September 11, 2007 Commission meeting. 15 of the contacts involved telecommunication services, 23 of the contacts involved electrical services, 8 contacts involved natural gas services, 5 contacts involved cell phone service, 15 contacts related to the Do Not Call Registry, and 6 contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. 1,528 of the 1,750 complaints received in 2007 have been resolved, and 2,270 of the 2,466 complaints received in 2006 have been resolved.
Thanks, Ms. Gregg. Are there any questions or comments by commissioners or advisors? Hearing none, we'll proceed to grain dealer. Item number one is GD07-001, and this deals with LW Sales and LW Seeds' alleged failure to obtain necessary licensure prior to operation as a grain dealer here in South Dakota. The question before the commission today is, shall the commission grant LW Sales' motion for reconsideration? And the second question is, if that motion is granted, how shall the commission proceed? Obviously, I think it's better that we take the first question first. We have had a motion filed by Ms. Bartling, representing LW Seed, LW Sales. And at this time, and I should note, obviously, the commission has received briefs from both Ms. Bartling and Ms. Semler. And so we've read those, but we'll turn over to Ms. Bartling for any oral comments she'd like to make in support of that.
I also filed an additional brief this morning, and I don't know if you've received a copy of that.
Ms. Bartling, sorry to interrupt. I would let you know that we did just receive it. We do have a hard copy sitting in front of us. Okay. Go ahead.
I just wanted to let you know, I don't ever blow off hearings, and I was completely shocked when I read in the newspaper that there was a hearing on this on August 28th. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't even realize that there was a hearing. I think that part of the problem that we have in this situation is that I have always worked off of the assumption that this is a contested case. And I don't know if Ms. Semler feels the same way, but I practice in the circuit courts, and I don't do a lot of practicing at all in front of the Public Utilities Commission. But as you can see by the brief that I filed today, there are numerous administrative rules that I was assuming were going to be followed. Now, Ms. Semler indicates that she had sent me an agenda of the commission meeting. I can tell you I did not receive that because our email has been having a great deal of problem, and I can tell you we have a shared email in our office, and nobody else in my office saw the agenda either. So I can tell you that it certainly wasn't a situation where I was aware of a hearing and said, well, I'm just not going to go. That's not the situation at all. I was under the impression that I would be served with a notice of hearing pursuant to the administrative rules, and specifically pursuant to administrative rule 2010-01-2202 that says a notice of hearing would be served at least 10 days prior to the date set for hearing. And that notice would contain the contents required by FCCL 12617. Now, I can tell you that I never received any notice of hearing that contained a statement of the time, place, and nature of the hearing, legal authority, And certainly nothing, you know, there are 8 requirements in 126.17. I never received that. And had I received that, I certainly would have been present to argue for my client. And I don't fault Ms. Semler. I think it's a situation where we're working off of maybe different assumptions in this situation. I just feel that we didn't receive the notice as required by law, and considering the fact that this is a summary judgment hearing, it's definitely a contested situation. Briefs have been filed, and I really think that, you know, our motion for reconsideration should be granted and that the summary judgment motion should be reset for a hearing pursuant to these requirements. I am not prepared today to argue the summary judgment motion because my client has provided me with some additional documentation that I think that the Public Utilities Commission should be aware of, and I'd like some time to support that.
Thanks very much, Ms. Bartling. Appreciate your comments. This time we'll look to staff for any comments they might have.
Thank you. This is Kara Semler for staff. Staff stated its opinion, I think, clearly in the correspondence I submitted to the commission, and we certainly don't want to deny Ms. Bartling's client his day in court, although I disagree with her depiction of the facts leading up to last commission meeting. I don't object to rehearing this.
Okay. With that, we will see if there are any commissioner or advisor questions on the Ms. Bartling's motion. Hearing none, action is an order. I'm perfectly happy to move to reopen this case. I'll get the agenda so I have the exact proper wording. I will move at this time that the commission grant LW Sales' motion for reconsideration. A motion has been made. No second is required. Is there any discussion on the motion?
I just want to make sure that this in no way acknowledges there was any fault by either party. It's just a reconsideration.
Okay. Thanks, Commissioner Kolbeck. Any other commissioner advisor comments, discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Kolbeck.
Aye.
Hanson.
Aye.
Johnson votes aye. The motion carries 3-0. And Ms. Bartling has indicated that she's not prepared today to argue the merits of the summary motion for summary judgment. And so unless anybody has any objections, we will put that on the agenda for a future commission meeting.
That would be fine.
Okay, great. Thanks, Ms. Bartling. And hearing no objections, that's what we'll do.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. You bet.
Have a good day.
With that, we'll proceed to the natural gas portion of the docket, which is NG07-013. And I believe that it probably makes the most sense to skip to the addendum on this because we do have a revised question before the commission today. And this deals with the application by Northwestern Corporation for authority to increase its natural gas rates. Question for the commission today is, shall it suspend the imposition of the tariff for an additional 60 days beyond September 29th, 2007? The motion has been made by staff, and so we'll look to them first.
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer from staff. This is normal procedure in a rate case. There's the 30-day, the 90-day, and then the 60-day. I forward you an email from the company. Neither of them could be on the line today. They were okay with a 60-day extension, and staff would recommend that the commission suspend the imposition of the tariff for an additional 60 days. Thank you.
Thanks very much, and we'll verify that no one from Northwestern wants to make any additional comments. Does any other interested person wish to make any comments? Hearing none, are there any questions or comments by commissioners or advisors? Hearing none, does anyone have a motion?
I will move that the commission suspend the imposition of the tariff for an additional 60 days beyond September 29th, 07.
Motion has been made. No second. It is necessary. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Kolbeck?
Aye.
Hanson?
Aye.
Johnson votes aye. Motion carries 3-0. Thanks very much. We'll now proceed. We're back to the regular agenda, and we'll take up the telecommunications portion of the docket. Item number one is TC06-007, and this deals with the petition of Level 3 Communications for arbitration of an interconnection agreement with Quest. And the question before the commission is, today shall it hear oral arguments? And I suspect the answer to that would be yes. I see Mr. Gerda's stepped up to the microphone.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, I'm Dave Gerdes. I'm a lawyer for Level 3 Communications. I talked to Ms. Semler yesterday afternoon late about this, and she indicated to me that Jason Topp had asked that this be postponed because he could not be here. I told Ms. Semler that I would contact my client, which I attempted to do last night and have yet to hear back, which just tells me that they're busy and off doing something. And so we have, I can't object to the request since I haven't talked to my clients and I don't feel it appropriate to go forward given the status of this thing. I mean, we're just waiting to make oral arguments, and we've waited a while, and I'd say we can probably wait until the next meeting. So I wanted to make that statement on the record for the commission.
Thanks, Mr. Gerdes. Ms. Semler, or I guess I should double-check, see who's on this one. Yeah, we'll look to Quest, see if Quest has any comments.
Chairman Johnson, this is Larry Toll with Quest in Sioux Falls. We appreciate Mr. Gerdes's position on this, and Mr. Topp, our attorney, is arguing a case in front of the Minnesota Commission today and was not available, filed a letter with your executive secretary last Friday, and had talked to Mr. Thayer at Level 3 on Thursday to alert him to it. So we really appreciate Mr. Gerdes's position for Level 3. We obviously don't want to delay this, but Mr. Topp is our first-team attorney. We'd like to have argue this case, and we would appreciate a deferral.
Okay, thanks very much, Mr. Toll. Anyone from Ms. Wiest, you're listed as commission attorney. I don't know if that's quite the same as staff attorney, but...
No, I am commission attorney. Kara is a staff attorney. I recommend deferral.
Okay. Is someone any other comments?
No, no objections.
Okay, hearing none, there's no objection to postponing oral arguments on this. Any commissioner comments or questions? Hearing none, I would move that the commission take no action on this item today. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Colbeck?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Johnson votes aye. Motion carries 3-0.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Mr. Toll. Telecom item number 2 is TC07-091, and this deals with filing by Sprint Communications Company for approval of its interstate switched access tariff and rates. Today, shall the commission approve the interstate switched access tariff with an effective date of September 6, 2007. We will look forward toward Sprint Communications to see, to hear their comments.
I have no comments. I just wanted to have you answer your questions.
Sorry. Sorry, we are experiencing some audiovisual difficulties, so we're going to hold on for a moment. I won't actually shut off the internet.
On the internet, we're experiencing some horribly painful audiovisual technical difficulties. Those of you on the telephone line, if you get dropped off, please call back in. I think we've resolved the concern. Commissioner Hansen, are you on?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay, good. Well, telephone lines are still live, and we're on the internet, and it sort of takes your breath away, that high pitch. Thanks, Mr. Ms. Prendergast. We appreciate that. We will look towards staff, Mr. Best, and Ms. Kramer for any comments they have.
I will very carefully turn this mic on. This is Harlan Best of staff. Sprint has filed switched access tariff, and what they have requested is that they be granted an exemption from developing company-specific cost-based switched access rates. They also have requested a waiver from using the average schedule switched access costs and minutes of use of the cost companies with less than 100,000 access lines. This would allow then allow Sprint to use the switched access rates of Quest Corporation. They have requested a waiver of using the average billing and collection costs of the cost companies with less than 100,000 access lines. They have requested that the commission waive the requirement that they file a switched access cost study at least every third year. Quest has also requested that they be able to use a composite switched access rate, which would be a rate of 5.9864 cents per minute, since their billing system cannot bill by individual elements. And they have also requested an effective date of September 6, 2007. The effective date was also in the fax blurb that went out by the commission, and there were no parties that intervened. Staff would recommend that the commission grant the exemption from developing company-specific cost-based switched access rates, grant the waiver from using the average schedule costs so they can use the Quest Corporation rate, grant the waiver from having to use billing and collection costs of the cost companies, that the commission grant the waiver from having to file a cost study every third year, and also grant the use of a composite rate, and also grant the requested effective date of September 6, 2007.
So let's make sure we've got all of this. Mr. Best, we've got a waiver of from using the average schedule costs, a waiver from billing and collection costs, from using the billing and collection costs of who?
The cost companies of less than 100,000.
That's right. Okay.
Lines.
Waiver from requiring cost study every third year, and waiver and allowing them to use a composite rate rather than individual cost components.
Right.
Okay, and then I think you had the first one. The first one I didn't get written down.
Granting the exemption from developing company-specific cost-based rates.
Great. Thanks very much, Mr. Best. Commissioner Advisor, comments, questions? Hearing none, does anyone have any have a motion? I would move that the commission approve the interstate switched access tariff and rates as with the waivers and conditions outlined by staff, along with an effective date of September 6th, 2007. No discussion. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Colbeck.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Johnson votes aye. Motion carries 3-0. Thanks to Sprint, Mr. Best.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, you bet. Telecom item number 3 is 094, and that is in the matter of the filing for approval of a resale agreement between Quest Corporation and NOS Communications. Today, shall the commission approve that agreement? Quest, any comments from Quest? Hearing none, I didn't see anyone from NOS Communications online. Staff, Ms. Semler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The resale agreement was properly filed and executed. It does not contain any discriminatory language. No comments were filed, and staff therefore recommends approval.
Thanks very much, Ms. Semler. Any commissioner advisor comments, questions? Hearing none, does anyone have a motion?
A motion to TC07-091 that the commission approve the agreement.
I think it's 094. Commissioner.
I'm sorry, that 94.
Okay, good.
Looking at it, and I said the wrong number.
Yeah. I think that's the first time you've done that in all your months here, and considering I do it every other meeting, I'm impressed. So, motion has been made. No second is required. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Colbeck.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Johnson votes aye. Motion carries 3-0. It's probably worth noting as we take up item number 4 that it also appears on the addendum in sort of step 2 of this process. So, step 1 is TC07-102, that's in the matter of the filing by SDN for approval of revisions to its interstate switched access tariff. And the motion for the commission in this docket is, shall it dismiss and close the docket? We would look to either staff, Ms. Kramer, Mr. Singer, or SDN for their comments on the motion.
Mr.
I'm not sure who.
This is Karen Kramer for staff. The TC07102 should not have been opened. That the corrections that were filed, that docket had already been opened in TC07027. So staff is merely requesting that the commission dismiss and close this docket, and then we will take up the merits of it in TC07027.
Absolutely. Ms. Miedema, Ms. Bennett, any other comments?
No, I would concur with, this is Marlene Bennett, and I would concur with Karen that, the filing that we made was, should have been an addition to TC07027, so 07102 can be closed at this point.
Okay, thanks very much. Any questions or comments from commissioners or advisors? All right, hearing none, anyone have a motion?
I will move that in TC07-102 that the commission dismiss and close the docket.
Motion's been made. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Colbeck?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Johnson votes aye. Motion carries 3-0. With that, we will move to our addendum. And we have taken up the first item on the addendum. And perhaps let's skip to telecom so we can wrap this particular issue up. TC07-027 does deal with essentially the same issue, the filing by SDN for approval of revisions to its access service tariff. And today the question is, shall the commission approve the format and textual changes to the access service tariff? We'll look to Ms. Bennett for any comments that Martin Group would have on SDN's behalf.
Thank you, Chairman. SDN had not completed any real updates to the tariffs in a number of years, and so we kind of took a look at it and gave it a little overhaul in order to bring it up into today's standards and expectations of what should be in an access tariff. And so we went ahead and canceled tariff number one and created tariff number two and updated things. Even the name of SDN had been corrected on the title page. We made a number of revisions just to the text, kind of mirrored some of what we see as far as language in the NECA tariff number five, knowing it's interstate versus state, but some of the access language needed to be updated. We did a little modification to some of the only rates really we changed were some additional engineering and provisioning rates that may be charged should things extend outside of the normal request for services, and just kind of brought those in line with current salaries received by those staff that may do that type of work. However, we don't know that we recall when we've ever actually used those rates, but went ahead and modified them should the need arise. We pretty much left it that there's only feature group D services available through the tandem so that the SS7 signaling can be used and we can easily be able to identify calls. We also updated and made sure we had correct all of the participating companies that are behind the tandem. Some of them had had name changes or exchanges had moved from one company to another, and we just kind of got all that information cleaned up and modified. So with that, if staff has any additional comments in reference to it or if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Thanks, Ms. Bennett. Staff, Mr. Best, Ms. Kramer.
Ms. Harlan Best, to staff. Staff would agree with what Marlene Bennett has said and would recommend that the commission grant the replacement of tariff number one with tariff number two.
Any comments or questions? I think Ms. Bennett did a good job of summarizing the filing and certainly seemed largely cleanup moves. Any other questions or comments? With that, I'll move that the commission approve the format and textual changes to the tariff. Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Colbeck.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Johnson votes aye. Motion carries 3-0. With that, we need to go back up and grab NG07-017. This deals with Northwestern Energy's filing for approval of tariff revisions. And, of course, the question today is, shall the commission approve those revisions? We'll look first to Northwestern Energy. Mr. Decker, presumably.
Yes, good morning. This is Jeff Decker with Northwestern Energy. This is the last unaccounted for filing that adjusts our fuel retention percentage. We do this filing every year about this time of year. So it's effective. We look for it to be effective October 1. And the percentage this year has gone down from 1.44 to 0.3%. So we just request approval of this tariff change today.
Could you say that second last sentence again? It went from what to what, Mr. Decker?
Okay. It was 1.44 mm-hmm. last year, and now it's 0.3.
Sure. Great. Thanks very much. Mr. Jacobson, Ms. Kramer?
Thank you, Chairman. This is Dave Jacobson. As Jeff said, this is the standard filing they perform every year, and it's done the same way that it has been done in the past. We'd recommend approval.
Mr. Jacobson, can you give us an idea? We've done this every year I've been around, but what have been the recent numbers? I mean, it varies a little bit. It always seems like a relatively small number, but and if you don't have it, Mr. Decker, I can certainly ask him.
Well, on the cover letter of the filing, it explains that October 1st, 2004 and 2005 were 2.21% and 0.6% respectively, and this last year was 1.44% and this year 0.3%. These are all typical numbers that we see from each of our companies and from the interstate pipelines. They all fall in that range. So, and this year is exceedingly low. I did distribute out a little news article several years old that explains, you know, most people would think, well, it's merely the gas that seeps out of the pipeline. But there are several reasons why there could be a lost and unaccounted for gas. And that little article I handed out explains some of the reasons why some are accounting errors that could occur. There are several reasons why that fluctuates every year. So.
Yeah, and I thought this article was helpful, and you mentioned accounting errors, but also pipeline configurations, meter station design, compressor station leaks, gas compression, data reporting practices, and poorly defined standard practices are just a few of the many different things that might lead to this this particular number. So, thanks. Any other questions or comments? Yeah, Mr. Rislov.
Mr. Decker, this is Greg Rislov. If I may ask you a question, do you have any idea roughly of what the percentage for retention gas would be among other utilities across the United States?
No, unfortunately, I didn't research that. I don't know what those percentages would be.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Just this is Commissioner Johnson and Mr. Decker. Maybe you could have that information for next year's filing. I just think it's always helpful for us to get a feel for what the industry benchmarks are or averages. So, thanks.
Okay, I'll note that. Thanks.
Considering how low this particular number is, I can't imagine it's half as large as any number we've dealt with in the last 3 years, as Mr. Jacobson noted. So, any other comments, questions? Hearing none, does anyone have a motion?
I'll motion in NG07-017 that the commission approve the tariff revisions.
Motion has been made. Is there any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Colbeck?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Johnson votes aye. Motion carries 3-0.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Decker. With that, and we've hopped around a little bit, but I think we've come to our last action item, which is under the telecommunications. It's TC07-092. This deals with McLeod USA Telecommunication Services. They're filing for approval of revisions to its interstate switch to access tariff. And the question for the commission today is, shall it approve the corrected tariff sheets? Is anyone representing McLeod USA on the telephone line? Hearing none, we will look toward Mr. Best and Ms. Kramer for their comments.
This is Harlan Best, staff. When I was going through the switch to access tariffs for all the companies, I noticed that McLeod had a typo in theirs, but they had on sheet 70 showed .00237, and it should have had three zeros in it. And what the company has done in response to an email from me is to file a corrected sheet. And they were charging the correct amount. It was just a typo within the tariff sheet itself.
Thanks very much, Mr. Best. Any comments or questions? Hearing none, I'll move that the commission approve the corrected tariff sheets. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Colbeck?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Johnson votes 3-0. There ends one of the least contentious and shortest commission meetings of the last 3 years. So, and I would just note in closing, there was an article on Sunday in the Argus Leader that dealt with Canadian approval of the Trans-Canada Pipeline. And part of that article talked about sort of the future of energy in South Dakota. And I think one of the comments I had, if read sort of out of context, I think would indicate that at least I as a commissioner wasn't particularly concerned about that pipeline project 10 or 20 years down the road. And I think it's important to note that I was focused more on the energy landscape and environment and what it would look like 20 years down the road. I certainly think we got to look at the Trans-Canada project based on its merits and its facts rather than those of other possible projects down the road. So with that, unless there's any other business to come before the commission, we will stand adjourned. Thanks.
Thank you.